And as soon as I realized that the people inside the battle school, inside the battle room, were kids, it changed everything. And I knew who my character was. My character was going to be the kid that had the most promise for saving the world from an alien invasion. Now, that was in 75. And, of course, I wrote it then, sent it off to Ben Bova. He rejected it, told me that it was twice as long as it needed to be. I needed to cut it in half. I just saw no way to cut it in half and still have anything left that was worth publishing. The story was only 70 pages long, but at 35 pages, I just didn't see it working. So instead, I sent the story off to Jim Bain, who was then the editor at Galaxy magazine. Well, Jim, let's put this kindly. Jim was going through stories about at the rate that Heinz ketchup flows out of the bottle. And so it was months and months and months before he finally got around to reading the story. And when he did, he rejected it. And unlike Ben, he didn't say, I'd like a revision, send it back. He just said, no, it doesn't work. So I went back to Ben's letter, and now his letter was looking a lot better to me. And so I thought, okay, he doesn't really want me to cut it in half. What he wants me to do is make it feel shorter. So what I realized was I had too many battles. I had too many scenes that were battles because I was showing off the battle room. And it was distracting from the story of the character. So I cut out one entire battle, and I cut another one down so that I just gave a brief summary of it. And that's it. I cut it down from 70 pages to 65 pages. I sent it back to Ben and said, I've dealt with the suggestions you made. See if this works now. I didn't actually lie and say I've cut it in half, but I figured, you know, he's not going to remember. It's been a year since he saw the first version. In that original letter, he also suggested that instead of Ender's Game, which was clearly a silly title, I mean, it was designed, the kid was named Ender solely so that I could have a name that sounded like Endgame from chess. And so he suggested the title Professional Soldier, which had irony in it, and there was a lot to recommend it. But viscerally, it's not like I'm a genius at titles. Believe me, I have some really crummy ones in my past. But I knew that Professional Soldier was too generic, that the irony worked, but that there was nothing to make it stand out. And to me, the kid was named Ender now. And as long as he was named Ender, it might as well be Ender's Game. So I stuck with my title. I told him that in the letter, that while his title had much to recommend it, I preferred mine. And that's the title. That's the story I was offering him, was the story entitled Ender's Game at this length. And what I got back from Ben was much nicer than a letter. It was a check. Now, in those days, Analog was published by Condé Nast Publications, and their contract consisted of a statement printed on the back of the check that said, if you endorse this check, you have agreed to the following. And I didn't agree to the following, but that looked like the only way I was going to get the money, and I needed it. So I signed it, you know, swallowed hard, and fortunately, I was dealing with honorable people, and when the time came, the rights were reassigned to me as they needed to be and so forth. So I ended up not selling my soul the way I did with other publishers and other circumstances and other projects. It appeared in Analog Magazine in the August 1977 issue. Of course, I was buying every issue of Analog then to watch when it would come out. And I remember that in the July issue of Analog, Ben had said in the little editor's note, next month will mark the debut of an exciting new writer. Well, I knew he meant me, so I was so excited. So then the August 1977 issue appears, and guess what? On the cover, with all of the splashy picture and the big name, is the story Cold Cash War by Robert Lynn Asprin. His first appearance in print. He was the author that Ben was talking about. And yes, Ender's Game was in there on page 100, but no special touting of the story, no special attention called to me, my name wasn't on the cover. It just appeared. Now, I was, of course, disappointed, a little bit hurt. What I didn't realize was that Ben was, in fact, setting me up exactly the way he should, which is he let the readers discover the story. He did nothing to tout it. It appeared in the magazine, and the result was that without any hype from him, just the appearance of the story, Ender's Game was adopted by readers. It came in second for the Hugo Award. It was on the strength of that story that I was given the John W. Campbell Award for Best New Writer. There are, of course, people who still feel that was a gross miscarriage of justice, but my mother and I agree that I deserved to win it. And the foundation of my career. It wasn't until years later that I decided to write a novel Ender's Game. So in a way, while this is, of course, the 20th anniversary of the publication of the book, it's the 30th anniversary of the publication of the story in 2005. And for me, it's even longer since I first thought of it. But since I first thought of the battle room, but since I first came up with the story, that was 1975. And for me, that's where it began, was realizing that it was a kid named Ender who was the hero of the story. And I remember sitting there when I started writing it. I had gone up with a girlfriend at the time to a circus that was playing in the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City. But I wasn't invited to the circus. She was taking her boss's children. She worked at Chuck-O-Rama in Orem, a smorgasbord restaurant. And as a favor to her boss, she was taking his kids to the circus. There were three tickets. None of them was for me. So I sat on the lawn outside the Salt Palace with a notebook. Now, I'd been writing my plays this way forever. I used to sit in the Harris Fine Arts Center waiting for my dad to pick me up because, of course, I didn't get a driver's license till I was 22. That's another story. So I'd be waiting to be picked up to be taken home from BYU after a day at school. And since it took him 20 minutes to get there, I'd have time to write. And there were other times when I was waiting for this, waiting for that. So I'd pull out my notebook and write my plays in longhand. So I started Ender's Game in longhand as well. And I remember the very first thing I wrote was, "Remember, the enemy's gate is down." And that's the only sentence from the short story that I left in the novel when I did that adaptation.